On behalf of Chuck and Sandra and their families, a warm welcome to all of you on this happy day. We've gathered here this morning to join this man and this woman in the holy bond of marriage. Marriage is not a human invention. It originated in the imagination of God and was given to the whole human race to be a perpetual institution until Jesus Christ, who is both God and man, returns as King of all things. Marriage, therefore, is good because God is good. The union of a man and a woman as husband and wife in heart, body, and mind is intended by God for their mutual joy, for the help and comfort given each other in prosperity and adversity, and when it is God's will, for the procreation of children and their nurture in the knowledge and love of the Lord. Therefore, marriage is never to be entered into unadvisedly or lightly, but reverently and deliberately, and yet with much joy, in accordance with the purposes for which it was given to us by God. We're here today not only to join this man and this woman, but to do it in the setting of the public worship of God. The psalmist said this, "Shout for joy in the Lord, O you righteous, praise befits the upright. Give thanks to the Lord with the lyre, make melody to him with the harp of 10 strings. Sing to him a new song, play skillfully on the strings with loud shouts. For the word of the Lord is upright, and all his work is done in faithfulness." We don't have 10 strings today, but we do have a wonderful piano. It has many more strings. Let's sing together the song that you find, "Great is thy faithfulness," in the order of service. Let's celebrate the Lord's faithfulness together, shall we?
Thank you.
Lord in heaven, we do bow before you and we worship. We worship you and your faithful love to your people and to the world so broken, so bruised, so lost. Oh Lord, you have loved us with an everlasting love, and that means an everlasting faithfulness. How thankful we are today for the gift of marriage and for the way that that reflects in a hard world your faithful love to your people. Lord, we bring you our morning praise. We thank you for this dear couple and invite your presence with us now. Oh Lord, indeed, we claim it. Where two or three are gathered together in your name, there you are in our very midst. How we thank you for that. Receive our worship. Receive our praise. But we offer it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
Reading from Genesis. Disse mais o Senhor Deus: Não é bom que o homem esteja só. Far-lhe-ei uma auxiliadora que lhe seja idônea. Havendo, pois, o Senhor Deus formado da terra todos os animais do campo e todas as aves dos céus, trouxe-os ao homem para ver como este lhe chamaria. E o nome que o homem desse a todos os seres viventes, esse seria o nome deles. Deu nome o homem a todos os animais domésticos, às aves dos céus e a todos os animais selváticos. Para o homem, todavia, não se achava uma auxiliadora que lhe fosse idônea. Então o Senhor Deus fez cair pesado sono sobre o homem, e este adormeceu. Tomou uma das suas costelas e fechou o lugar com carne. E a costela que o Senhor Deus tomara ao homem, transformou-a numa mulher e lhe a trouxe. E disse o homem: Esta, afinal, é osso dos meus ossos e carne da minha carne, chama-se-á varoa, porquanto do varão foi tomada. Por isso, deixa o homem pai e mãe, e se une à sua mulher, tornando-se os dois uma só carne. Ora, um e o outro, o homem e a sua mulher, estavam nus e não se envergonhavam.
The Lord God said, It is not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. Now the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the wild animals and all the birds in the sky. He brought them to the man to see what he would name them. And whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name. So the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds in the sky, and all the wild animals. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. So the Lord caused the man to fall into a deep sleep, and while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and then closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. The man said, This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. That is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife, and they become one flesh. Adam and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame.
Whenever a couple gets married, there is an echo of that first marriage in Eden, of which we have just heard. Sandra and Chuck, now I give you opportunity to say why you have come here this morning. Sandra, do you intend this man to be your husband, to live together in the covenant of marriage as long as you live? If so, then answer, I do. And Chuck, do you intend this woman to be your wife, to live together in the covenant of marriage as long as you live? If so, then answer, I do.
I do.
Those of us who are gathered here today are not simply spectators, but you all sitting in the congregation are witnesses. You are here because you love Chuck and Sandra, but you are here to witness something that's very public. They're about to pledge themselves to one another for the rest of their lives. They can't do this alone. And those of us who are married know that. Both of them know that as well. From their own experience, they need the Lord's people, the body of Christ, around them to support them, to encourage them, to pray for them, to, as I said, encourage them when times are hard, to hold them accountable when times are hard. That's one of the great blessings of being joined to a community, being joined to the body of Christ, being joined to family members. And so all of you now have an opportunity to pledge yourselves to them, even as they are about to pledge themselves to God and to each other. And so I ask you who are here today, are you willing as witnesses, as God gives you opportunity and by His grace, are you willing to try to be, as you can, an encouragement to them, to pray for them, to hold them up when they are weak, to spend time with them, to know them, and especially when times are difficult, to hold them accountable with grace and tenderness and yet also with firmness. If that's your intent, then I invite you to answer, yes, we do promise by the grace of God.
Yes, we do promise by the grace of God.
Let's pray. Oh Lord, these who are here today have just spoken and they have made a pledge to you, even as Chuck and Sandra are about to pledge themselves to each other. And we pray that you would be the one who now empowers this pledge. Lord, you know how deeply thankful I am and my wife for the support and encouragement of believers around us, of friends around us, of family members around us in hard times. We pray that you would give us grace now to keep what we have promised, O Lord. And we ask it in the strong name of Jesus. Amen.
I'm reading from the book of Romans. O amor seja sem hipocrisia. Detestai o mal, apegando-vos ao bem. Amai-vos cordialmente uns aos outros com amor fraternal, preferindo-vos em honra uns aos outros. No zelo, não sejais remissos. Sede fervorosos de espírito, servindo ao Senhor. Regozijai-vos na esperança. Sede pacientes na tribulação, na oração perseverantes. Compartilhai as necessidades dos santos, praticai a hospitalidade. Abençoai os que vos perseguem, abençoai e não amaldiçoeis. Alegrai-vos com os que se alegram e chorai com os que choram. Tende o mesmo sentimento uns para com os outros. Em lugar de sedes orgulhosos, condescendei com o que é humilde. Não sejais sábios aos vossos próprios olhos. Não torneis a ninguém mal por mal. Esforçai-vos por fazer o bem perante todos os homens. Se possível, quanto depender de vós, tende paz com todos os homens.
Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone.
Let us sing together in Christ alone.
Thank you.
You may be seated. Dear Chuck, dear Sandra, dear family members, dear friends, and especially those from Brazil, bon dia. We are very happy that you are here, and we want to stand with you, Chuck and Sandra, for this very special, very joyful, and yet also a very somber occasion. We are witnessing the union between Chuck and Sandra, and you may be surprised what kind of text God has laid on my heart for us to meditate on. It's a very short text from the book of Ephesians, and I want to read those verses, and I want you to think about the word replacement. I'm reading from Ephesians 4, just the verses 30 to 32, for you, for your life's path, for your relationships with each other and with family members and friends and those you reach out to. This is what God's word gives us. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. I did give you the key term of replacement, and as both of you have meditated and thought about counseling, that's a very important aspect in our lives. There are things that have to go in this text, and there are things that have to be welcomed, embraced, grasped. And this movement of things have to go and we have to grasp things, that's what I want to take you in for a few minutes. There's an eviction of things in verse 31 that have to go. And my wife and I just are in the midst of an eviction procedure. We have some unwelcome renters in our house. They're not paying any rent. They were not welcome. They are illegitimate renters. It's a raccoon mother with her little ones in our chimney. They have to be evicted. It's too dangerous. It's not good for them. It's not good for us. And so there's a very kind animal control man who has now come to our house 3 times. And the raccoons are still in our chimney as we speak. But these unwelcome renters have to be evicted. The verse 31 that we have read has to be evicted. They cannot coexist. Either my wife and I move out, or the raccoons move out. Either these deep-seated feelings of anger, wrath, hardship, and hardness, or the tenderness, the forgiving, the patience can live in your heart. They cannot coexist. They're mutually exclusive. And Paul encourages the believers in Ephesus and Asia Minor and you as you marry, and us as a fellowship together as we enter into this with you, to be very serious about the eviction of these deep-seated, deeply rooted aspects that are in enmity against God. You see that this section that I read you is in some ways bookended by 2 very important truths. The first one is very surprising. It's not, don't suppress the Holy Spirit, but it is nearly like, don't hurt the Holy Spirit's feelings. don't hurt his approach to you. Don't resist his tender call to call you to understanding where your sin resides in your heart. Don't resist that knocking on your door. Don't pain. Don't insult the Holy Spirit. He is the one who convicts. He's the one who gives you the tender heart to say, I'm sorry. This wasn't right. I have to do that so often towards Suzanne, and I'm assuming that some of that will be your daily bread. Those who follow Christ are given the seal, this promise of God's blessing of the Holy Spirit, and that should not be grieved. So the Holy Spirit is active. He is seeking to convict you. He's seeking to bring you to tenderness. And Paul encourages us, and you particularly, don't hinder that tender voice. The other bookend at the end of this text is that we are called, you are called to forgive each other, not because you're so strong, not because you're so capable, but because something has been placed into your heart, and that is Christ's mercy for you. He paid a great debt. God could not have gone to greater extent to win you back to himself. And for that love, for that love to continue, that is the call of Paul. Pass that on, Chuck. Pass that on to Sandra and Sandra. Pass that on to Chuck. You're not called to create something out of nothing, but you are commissioned, you are commanded here to pass on that which has been entrusted to you. So, in order for this eviction to occur, in order for these things to be thrown out, we must allow the tender work of the Holy Spirit, and we must let the work of God through Christ come so deep into our soul that we're capable of passing that on. Now, you know, as you have studied counseling, how we hold on to bitterness, how we hold on to anger, how we hold on to grief, how we slander easily. Why? Because often we have been deeply pained. We feel justified in what we feel. It's not that we come up with anger. It is that anger is provoked in our hearts. And so the wrong way to deal with that is to suppress it, to say, I have to be nice. That's part of my own recovery. I shouldn't be nice. The antidote to anger is not be nice. Is to name it, and then to see if there is a power that can evict that anger, that wrath, that sense of pain, that resentment, that word that slips out of our mouth, and it comes from somewhere deep that we don't even know. So that is the call of Paul. Not be nice, but to let that anger be pulverized, be evaporating in the ongoing work of the Holy Spirit and the mercy and goodness and love for you, Chuck, and you, Sandra. In that, this anger has nowhere to go. It is taken out of our hand. Now, we surrender because of God's great care. And so you're called to let go. This is why Jesus says, bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. Be merciful even as your Father is merciful. That would be very merciless unless you've been given something that you're to pass on. So I have mentioned the central word of replacement. Something has to go, something has to come in. And it is now interesting that the two bookends, the not hindering, not hurting, not quenching the Holy Spirit, and letting that love work in our heart, is in a continuous tense. Let that always be. do not continue to hinder the Holy Spirit, but continue to let him prompt you, to convict you, and continuously let that love sink into you. These are very ongoing activities, and in the middle, the eviction is not named in that way. It is somehow characterizing. Chuck, you are a let goer off that which has to be evicted. You will not be as tenacious as the raccoons. You let them go. You let that go. Now, there's something very strange in this verse 31 of letting go. I'll read it again. Let all bitterness be put away from you. Strange thing. It's a command with a passive voice. How can you have a command and then have a passive voice? Do something, but let it happen to you. I think the way to interpret that is open your hand, open your heart to God's removal of that bitterness. Something has to be powerful to take those things, but you have to let your hands go open and let that surgery happen, that tenacious raccoon-like sticking in the chimney type of stuff. Open your hands, let it go, let it fly off. So the eviction is something characteristic. You are a let-goer. In AA, some people say, let go and let God. That's very easy to say. It's profound. And Paul calls you here to let go and let God. Now, what grows is beautiful. There's always the fruit of things that grow that are wonderful, and we want those. Tender-heartedness. Sandra, wouldn't you like that? Chuck, wouldn't you like that? Compassion. Kindness, love, benevolence, that means you want the best for the other one. But we realize, as we hear this echo from Galatians 5:22, this is the fruit of the Spirit. So the very thing that you are not to hinder, to let flow, is now bearing fruit in your life with the eviction of the raccoons of bitterness. And so the fruit of the Spirit is, in Galatians 5:22, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Not what you produce, Chuck, not what you produce, Sandra. Fruit of the Spirit, the manifestation of God's very presence in your heart and your relationship. Now, I have not mentioned that this text is always talking about plural. It never talks about you alone, Chuck, or you alone, Sandra. It speaks about us, you as a couple, and the fellowship of believers. So this is to be true for you in your own hearts, and this is to flow into your relationship. That is the great hope for you, not your good intentions. Not your goodwill. There will be too many challenges in your relationship and in your families. But when God enters the equation, it is like a sunrise in the morning. It covers everything. Latch on to that. Let that replacement be the tone of your relationship. And so you have chosen to enter the place where replacement is God's operation, God's work, where you will see more clearly what needs to go, what needs to be evicted, and how to allow the presence of God in your relationship, so that your relationship would be a testimony not to your strength, not to your good intentions, not to your good plans, but to the mercy and power of God to create life in brokenness, out of brokenness, despite brokenness. May God bless you. Amen. No. Music first.
Santificado seja o teu nome, venha o teu reino, seja feita a tua vontade, assim na terra. De cada dia nos dai hoje e perdoa-nos, Senhor, assim como nós perdoamos e nas tentações não nos conduzas, mas livrai-nos do mal, pois teu é o reino, o poder e a glória para sempre.
In the presence of God and before these witnesses, your families and friends, I now invite you to exchange your vows. I, Chuck, take thee. Sandra, to be my wedded wife. And I do promise and covenant. Before God and these witnesses. To be thy loving and faithful husband. In plenty and in want. In joy and in sorrow. In sickness and in health. As long as we both shall live. And thereunto, I pledge thee my faithfulness. Sandra, repeat after me. I, Sandra,
take thee, Chuck,
to be my wedded husband. I do promise and covenant. Before God and these witnesses. to be thy loving and faithful wife, in plenty and in want, in joy and in sorrow, in sickness and in health, as long as we both shall live, and thereunto I pledge thee my faithfulness. Chuck and Sandra have brought rings as tokens to seal their promises to each other. Chuck, repeat after me. Sandra, I give you this ring, as a sign of my vow, and with all that I am, and all that I have, I honor you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Sandra, repeat after me. Chuck, I give you this ring as a sign of my vow, and with all that I am and all that I have, I honor you in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. The groom may kiss his bride. Let me pray for you. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you that you are in the midst of us here. You are the chief witness. You are the creator. You are the redeemer. You are the one that gives power to live according to your ways. We acknowledge our feebleness. We acknowledge our distraction. We acknowledge our weakness. We acknowledge our rebellion against you. And so now, as these two have vowed and pledged themselves to each other before you and this congregation, we pray that you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit would dwell richly between them and in their hearts, bind them together in love and unity that is your gift. Bless them, Lord, so that you may be honored. Give them great hearts of love, not only for each other, but for those that they are responsible for and care for, and all those that they serve. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Inasmuch as Chuck and Sandra have given themselves to each other by solemn vows, with the joining of hands and the giving and receiving of rings, I declare that they are now husband and wife according to the ordinance of God and the laws of the state of Missouri, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. What God has joined together, let no one separate. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. I present to you, for the first time, Mr. and Mrs. Chuck and Sandra Schulte.
Thank you.